come up here and see the church in New Jersey. I've been looking forward to it. I moved south to North Carolina. That church will do about anything for me except sing Yankee Doodle Dandy. They're not going to sing that. I had to say that. The thought that came to my mind when Don was preaching, and it just struck me so strong, is that God had to put into the heart of Hosea to love such a woman. But nobody put that into God's heart to love such a people like you and me. That's just who He is. God is love. God has to put it into us. He has to be through a new creation for us to love one another. But no one put it in his heart. No one put it in his. He's love. He did it because that's just who he is. Turn to Psalm 46. When your pastor read, comfort ye my people, I thought that goes right along with this psalm. A comforting psalm. I titled the psalm, or this message, Be Still, My Soul. Be Still, My Soul. The hardest thing for any of us to do is to be still. To rest, to be quiet, and know that God is God. It's all in His hands. Whatever it is, it's all in His hands. Now you'll notice in this psalm, Psalm 46, it says, To the chief musician for the sons of Korah, a song upon Alamoth. There's no name given here as to the author of this psalm. Yet we know who the author of this psalm is. It's our Lord. It's our Lord. He's the author of this book. Our Lord inspired the writer of this psalm to write this for the comfort of his people. But I also know that our Lord, the Lord Jesus Christ, the man Christ Jesus, found comfort in his God and our God. He believed God just like you and I believe God, except he believed God perfectly. He believed him perfectly. One of the charges when he was hanging on the cross was this. He trusted in God. Yes, he did. He trusted in God perfectly. Everything he did perfectly. And our Lord, our elder brother, our Savior, he found in God the refuge that he's given us to find in him, that refuge in God. Here's what's strange. Here's what's over our head. The man Christ Jesus trusted in God. And he's the God he trusted in. That's over our head, isn't it? He's the very God he trusted in. Now, since the fall, every creature needs a refuge. We need a refuge. It is written over in Proverbs, the coney is a feeble folk, but he makes his house in the rocks. The bear, as ferocious as it is, has its den It needs a shelter. And we have our houses. We are made in such a way that we must have a refuge in order for us to live in this world. We must have a refuge. But how much more do we need a refuge in the spiritual realm? Seeing we are a sinful people and that God is holy. Holy, holy, holy is what they cry day and night. They praise His holiness. And seeing we are sinful and God is holy, we must have a refuge from His wrath, because God must punish sin. And that's exactly what I am. I'm sin. And He's got to punish it. We need a refuge from the curse of the law, for the soul, the scripture says, the soul that sinneth shall surely die. We need a refuge from Satan, for he goes about seeking whom he may devour. He's a very real person. And I don't want to deal with him. I don't want to deal with him. It's too much for me, but he's not too much for our Lord. He's not too much for him. I heard someone say one time, he's nothing more than a pit bull on a chain. He does God's will, whether he likes it or not. All these years, he's thinking he's gonna bring down God's people. He's thinking he's gonna blemish the glory of God, and all the while, he's doing God's will. You'd think that he would figure this thing out, wouldn't you? That's how dumb sin makes us. That's how dumb sin makes us. 6,000 years, and he still hasn't figured it out. That God's just using him to accomplish his will and his purpose. But I have good news here in this psalm. The believer has a sure refuge in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now it starts out, God is, and that's a good place just to stop right there. God is. God is who he says he is. Not who I think he is. He is who he is. God is who he is. And the God that is, and there's only one God that is, and the God that is our refuge. He's our refuge in a very present help. He's our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. You know, when you use the name God, when you say God, for the most part, people will agree, most religions, if not all religions, will agree that God is holy. They will agree that God is powerful, that he has all power. They will agree that to that. They will agree that God created the heavens and the earth. They will agree to that. But when you identify God as being Jesus Christ, then you lose the majority. Because that's who Jesus Christ is. Jesus Christ is my Lord and my God. He's my Lord and my Creator and my Savior, my Redeemer, my all in all, as what you're saying, Paul. My all in all. We can say this correctly. Jesus Christ is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Paul said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. All things. There's nothing. Absolutely nothing I can't do through Jesus Christ. You would think that we'd be when you consider who made us, it's like David said, why art thou cast down, O my soul? Hope thou in God. Look who made you. Infinite wisdom, knowledge, power. He's our creator. Oh, my soul, we ought to expect big things of God. Really, we ought to expect great things of God. We think too little of God. We think way too little of God. It says in Isaiah 32:2, a man shall be a hiding place from the wind and a covert from the tempest, as rivers of water in a dry place, as a shadow of a great rock in a weary land. And that man is Jesus Christ. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. It's in Him we find refuge and strength and help in time of trouble. And this word refuge here means also this. It means a shelter from pursuit. It's a shelter from pursuit from the avenger of blood. Remember the cities of refuge? God provided them. God provided them. And God has provided in the Lord Jesus Christ a refuge from the avenger of blood, the curse of the law. Satan. Boy, there's nothing more than he'd like than to have you. He said, let me have Job. And Peter, the Lord said, Peter, Satan has desired you to sift you as wheat. He'd love to just have you. He said, let me have him. Let me have him. I can break him. And all he does is end up glorifying the Lord. Job at the end of it said, by the hearing of the ear I've heard of thee, but now mine eye seeth thee, and I abhor myself in sackcloth and ashes. He glorified God and put himself in the dust. And God used Satan to do that. He used him to do that. He's a refuge from the law. He's a refuge from Satan. He's a refuge from men. But listen, God is especially a refuge from God himself. The best place to hide from God is in God. That's the best place to hide from the wrath of God. The anger of God against sin is in God. Listen, your life is hid with Christ in God. That's where it's hid. It's hid in God. When Satan was going to touch Job, God said, you can touch all that he has, but you can't touch his life. You know why? Because his life is sitting on the throne. Christ, who is our life. The scripture said, when he shall appear, he's our life. And you're not going to touch him. Because he'd have to touch Christ again. And that's not going to happen. That's not going to happen. Your life is hid with Christ in God. And he's a very present help in trouble. He's one who's always found in times of trouble. You know, it's hard to find somebody when you're in trouble. Most people don't want to be around. When trouble comes, most people don't want to deal with it. But God's right there. Our Lord is right there. A very present help in trouble. So often, we view God far away beyond the stars. We just view him way out there. But listen, that's not so. That's not so. He's near. In him we live and move and have our being. Just because I cannot sense his presence does not mean he's not here. Where two or three are gathered together, he said, there am I in the midst. Do you believe God's here tonight? That Jesus Christ is here tonight? That, to me, is an awesome thought. That the Lord is in our midst. Listen to this scripture. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Now, it doesn't get any nearer than that. He's in you, the hope of glory. And in times of trouble, a very present help in trouble, in times of trouble. All trouble, inward. You know, the believer has inward trouble that the world knows nothing of. There's a warfare that goes on in the heart of a believer. That flesh and spirit warring against each other, struggling against each other. You know, before the Lord saved me, I didn't have trouble with sin. I had trouble figuring out how to do it, how to accomplish the lust of my flesh, how to get it done. That was my trouble. That's the only thing that troubled me. Mom and Dad was in the way. My dad was strict. You know, I'm like, we should go somewhere. There's some things I want to do, places I want to go. But after the Lord saved me, and he saved you, now there's a warfare going on inside. There's a real battle going on in your heart, in you. And then you got all these outward troubles. But the Lord has told us in the psalm, back over in Psalms 3 and 4, I believe it is, that he's our shield. You know what that man means? He surrounds us. We are literally surrounded by the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, all power and all authority is given to me in heaven and earth. He has all power over, he says, over all flesh in John 17. I'm a shield to my people. I surround them. He's not way out there somewhere. He's here. He's here. And because of this, therefore, will not we fear. Fear plays a big part of our lives, doesn't it? How many times did the Lord say to the disciples, why are you so fearful? Why are you so fearful? When Adam was in the garden, God created him, put him in a perfect garden, perfect situation. There was no fear. He wasn't afraid of the animals, the lions, the bears. And there was no fear until sin entered. And when sin entered, Adam heard the voice of God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And he said, Adam, where art thou? And he said, I heard your voice and I was afraid. And we've been afraid ever since. We've been afraid ever since. But our Lord says here, therefore, will not we fear? That doesn't mean we won't have any apprehensions or anything, but we're not going to be overtaken with anxious fear, worrisome, wringing the hands, fear. Though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, listen, if they are removed, God did it. Our Lord did it. Here's a question. What do we have to be afraid of? Are we ever really in danger? Are we really ever in danger? When the disciples were in the boat, and it was in a storm, and the Lord was asleep in the back of the boat, there's an example of perfect faith. Been able to sleep no matter what the storm, never been able to rest no matter what the storm is. But he's asleep there in the back of the boat, and they're about to fall apart. They're bailing out water, and don't you care that we perish? Were they ever really in danger? Charles Spurgeon said, if they had drowned, they couldn't have been in better company. They couldn't have been in better company. They had nothing that we are as safe sitting here as those who are gathered around his throne right now. I'm serious. Just as safe right here. Just as safe on a battlefield as if we were surrounded by the throne of God. If we really ever get a hold of that, we're gonna really understand something about peace. When we really understand who God is in Christ, and he's our shield, he's our refuge, he's got us. He's got us. And listen, we have nothing to fear, no matter what comes our way, because it's ordained of our Father in infinite wisdom before the creation of the world. Everything that you will experience in your life has been ordained of God. That matter was settled before creation. That matter settled before creation. We have nothing to fear. And nothing will destroy us, but everything, even the things that we feel like is going to tear us apart, is for our good. Our good. You know, if you go prune a bush, a fruit tree, if you really prune it, it looks like you're killing it. But you're really doing it good because it's going to bear more fruit. Out of that, it's going to bear more fruit. God may remove, it says here back, let me go back here to this verse. Though the Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, the very things that we live upon, this earth, this, you know, we've known nothing but this earth, have we? But you know what? Someday it's going to be removed. Someday it's going to, don't put your hopes or your interest or your investments in this earth. It's going to be removed. And the mountains carried into the midst of the sea. This may have reference to the political landscape or whatever it is that's going on. If God removes, he's removed kingdoms, hasn't he? And he raises up, brings up, raises and brings them down. God does this. God does this. And though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, and though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. One of the most powerful forces on earth is raging water. I think it's one of the most scary things there is. But I tell you this, the heavy trials that come into our souls will not take us away. They will not take us away. Our Lord assures us. He assures us, as our brother read, when you pass through the water, I'll stand on the other side and I'll watch you. Come on, you can do it, you can do it. No, he said, I'll be with you. He was with the disciples in the boat. I'll be with you. And through the rivers, they'll not overflow you. And when you, and listen, you notice something here. When? Not if. There's not an if you go through the water. It's not an if you go through the fire. It's when. It's going to happen. Just as sure as you are a child of God, it's going to happen. You're going to go through the water. And you're going to go through the river. And you're going to go through the fire. But we have his promise. He says here, the water, it will not overflow you. And the rivers will not overflow you. And when you walk through the fire, thou shalt not be burned. Our Lord did walk through the fire of God's wrath. And it burned upon him. It burned upon him. But it will not burn upon you and me. All it will do is accomplish the purpose that God has sent it for. All it will do is remove some dross. It will remove some dross that needs to be removed. You know, I used to have a machine shop and I did Babbitt bearings. And no matter how many times I heated that pot up, you know, you'd heat it up to 800 degrees. And it would just be, it's, Babbitt is like lead. But anyway, you heat it up to 800 degrees. And then before you would pour it, you'd take the dross off from it. You know, no matter how many times I heated that Babbitt up, I always had dross. I was always amazed how much dross was still in it. I would heat it up to use it, and I would skim off a bunch of dross. And then the next time I'd use it, after it cooled down, I'd heat it back up again. Same thing. Same thing. And that's what trials do. He just keeps skimming off the dross. You think, I don't have that much. Oh, yes, you do. Oh, yes, you do. And he just keeps skimming off the dross. That's what they're for. But he's promised us this, that they will not do us in. No matter what, he's saying here, no matter what he takes away, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. He gives an infinite wisdom and he takes an infinite wisdom. He gives us what we need and he takes away what we need taken away. He does that. And the flames, he said, will not kindle upon you. Is God good for his word? God's good for his word. I don't have to worry about the fire kindling upon me because it kindled upon my Lord. He took it away. He took it away. But now I want you to know something. The first three verses had to do with this life. It had to do with this earth. It had to do with the things we live upon, the things that we count on, you know, growing up, we've counted on these things. But now he's going to talk about the things above. And there's notice the stability. The things of this earth are shaken, they're removed, and they're melted. But now the things above, quiet, steady, steady. There is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High. The usual process is for streams to flow down from the hills and the mountains, and they flow down into the valley, and they make a river. But here, when I read this, it's in the reverse. The river is above, and the streams are flowing down from the river. The streams of mercy and grace are flowing from the river. Listen, Revelation 22:1, and he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. Christ is that pure river of water. And from him, the streams of mercy and grace and forgiveness, all the blessings that God has for us are streaming down to us from this river. And there's no boiled water advisory on this river. It's called pure. It's pure. It has all the spiritual nutrients in it we need for time and eternity. Listen, I need a Savior, not just for eternity. I need one now. I need one today. I need one who can save me today from the power of sin, from the power of indwelling sin. I need a Savior that can save me now from that, as well as save me when this is all over with and stand in God's presence. I need salvation for time as well as I need it for eternity. And I have that in Jesus Christ. I have that in Him. Now here's another reason not to fear. God is in the midst of her. As I said earlier, God is with us. God is among us. God's in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her. That right early. Here's the source of the church's strength and gladness. God, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is God, is in the midst of her. I and them, he said, and thou and me. This is union. This is union. Christ is one with his people. He's the head and we are the body. And he gives us a promise here. She shall not be moved. Come what may, in Christ we are secure. I'm not worried. I tell you the truth. I'm not concerned and worried about the political landscape right now and what's going on. It doesn't tear me up. It does not tear me up. You know what I find more disturbing? Is that we're not more concerned with the kingdom of God than as we are with the kingdom of men. We are told in the disciples' prayer to pray, "Thy kingdom come." Our greatest concern is to be with the kingdom of God. God's controlling all that's going on out here. Our Lord Jesus Christ, the man Christ Jesus, the captain of our salvation, he's orchestrating all this. He's taking care of it. And his help is present. It's early. You know, Martha and Mary thought he was too late. Lord, if you'd been here, my brother wouldn't have died. My brother wouldn't have died. I tell you what, he was right on time. They didn't just witness the resurrection of the brother, but they got to see the resurrection and the life standing in front of them. They kept looking for an event, and he showed them a person. Everybody's looking for that event, you know, the rapture of the church, you know. They're looking for the event of the resurrection. Christ said, "I'm the resurrection. Look for me. Look for me." We're looking for him to come. Her foundation is sure, for she is built upon the rock, Christ Jesus. Remember there in Luke, he talks about the man who built his house upon the rock. The winds blew, and storms came, but that house stood because it was built upon the rock. Now he says there in verse 6 that the heathen raged. They always will. They've been raging since the fall. Kingdoms were moved. God raises up and brings down. But notice his power here. He uttered his voice and the earth melted. He didn't have to assemble a great army. He uttered his voice. He spoke. Where the word of a king is, there's power. What are troubles before God? You know, you and I, we go through troubles. Man born of troubles. As the sparks fly upward. Man born of one, a few days, full of trouble. But is anything really a challenge to God? There was a woman who asked, I believe it was G. Campbell Morgan, after the service one morning. And she said, is it right for me to pray about the little things and not just the big things? And he said, lady, ma'am, everything with God's little. Everything with God's little. They may be big problems to you, but they're not to him. They're not to him. Listen, here's encouragement. The Lord of hosts is with us. That's who's with us. The Lord of armies. He commands the heaven and the earth. You know, everything that exists serves him. Everything. It's interesting, when he brought all those plagues on Egypt, he didn't bring armies of men. He brought locusts, frogs, and flies, and lice. He's like, I don't need to bring spears and chariots. I'll just bring my creation. I'll bring my creation and let you handle that. Isn't that amazing? Everything serves him. If he wants to bring an army of ants, he could rule the world with them. He could rule the world with an army of ants if he so willed. He could. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob. The God of election. The God who receives sinners and eats with them is our refuge. Our shelter. Our shelter. He's with us. We have his presence. Scripture says, if God be for us, who can be against us? The friend of sinners is with us. Are you a sinner? Oh boy, you're in good standing. You're in good standing. The Lord who commands heaven and earth is with us. He's with us. Whew. Now, it's like he's saying, take a trip back in time with me. Come, take a walk with me. Behold the works of the Lord. Look back over history. Look at the works of the Lord. Look what, and Nod had mentioned it. He gave Sheba and Seba, he said, for thee. Look at the arm. Look at Egypt, what he did to them at that time. These are the works of the Lord. These are not the works of men. These are the works of the Lord. History is his story. It's his story. Behold the works of the Lord. What desolations he has made in the earth. Oh, that we would set our hearts on things above. This God who has made such desolations in the earth is our God. That we would set our hearts to know him, to learn of him. Christ said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. To learn God is to learn Jesus Christ. You cannot know God apart from Jesus Christ. Can't be done. He maketh wars to cease unto the ends of the earth. He breaketh the bow and cutteth the spear asunder. He burneth the chariot in the fire. Here's reconciliation. Reconciliation's his. He hath reconciled us to himself. It wasn't a cooperation on my part with him. It's not me and the Lord working this thing out. He reconciled us to himself. Now he tells us to be reconciled. That's lay down your gun. Lay it down. Reconciliation is the Lord's work. It's his work. He make wars to cease. If he didn't, they wouldn't. Wars would not stop if he didn't stop them. You say, well, we won the war. He made it stop. Because in a little while, there'll be another one. And then he'll make it stop. After he's accomplished his purpose, he'll make it stop. And then another one, and he'll make it stop. And he'll do that until time is no more. Now, let me wind this up. What are we to do? What are we to do? At all times, whether it's the sun is shining or it's storming, be still. That's hard to do. Be still. Know that I'm God. I'm your creator. I'm your sustainer. I'm your provider. I'm your all in all. Christ is our wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. He's everything we need. Now be still. And know that I'm God. I'll be exalted among the heathen. I'll be exalted in the earth. We learn most when we are still. We learn most when we are still. I was telling the church here a couple weeks ago, my grandfather, he was a quiet man. He didn't say much. But he said to me one time, I was just a teenager, he said to me one time concerning a certain lady, he said if she had to be still, her ears would slap her brains out. Isn't that us? We just can't be still. It's just like, but. And we keep wanting to raise our hand. You know, but. Be still. And watch me work. In providence, watch me work. And what you're going through, watch me work. Sit back and watch me. Watch me. You know, when I read the Gospels, one of the things that I like to do, when I read it, I don't just read it. I like to watch the Lord move. I like to watch him move through the crowd. I like to watch the way he handles sinners. I like to watch the way he handled those Pharisees and scribes. I like to watch him because I'm watching God. I'm watching God. Come in. He came into his own creation, became a man. And I'm watching him move among sinners. I'm watching how he's handling them. How he's handling the sinners. Now he's handling the self-righteous. And now be still and watch me. Observe. Observe. You ever seen anybody say, now just sit there and observe me. Observe what I'm doing here. I'm showing you something. You know every day has its lesson. If we pay attention, we might learn it. But every day has its lesson. And then he repeats it. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob, our refuge. The Lord of armies with us. And this being so, rest and be still. Be still, my soul. I'm taking this from the song. The Lord is on thy side. The God of Jacob, the God who receives sinners, the God of election, is our refuge. Apart from him, listen, there is no refuge. There is no refuge. If you do not have the Lord Jesus Christ, if you do not believe on him, if you do not love him, you don't have a refuge. You're in trouble. All right.